Well, there's been a lot of extremely well-deserved applause for the health practitioners and other key frontline workers helping to combat the spread of coronavirus in this country. But one group whose efforts seem to have flown under the radar in all this are our public servants. Right now, Australian lives and livelihoods depend on the plans and delivery skills of Australia's public servants. And they are burning the midnight oil, as Health Minister Greg Hunt has acknowledged, to get these incredibly important plans made and implemented, let alone the people sitting in Centrelink offices. How is Australia's public service stepping up, and what challenges do they face? Joining me to discuss this are former Public Service Commissioner and longtime public servant Andrew Podger, now Professor of Public Policy at the ANU, and Professor Alan McConnell, who researches public policy at the University of Sydney and whose particular interest is the politics of crisis and disasters. Welcome to you both.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Andrew, we'll come to the challenges later, but essentially, briefly, what are the roles and responsibilities of public servants during a time of crisis like this one?
Well, there's two main roles. One is the policy side and giving advice on how to respond. And the second one then is to manage the response that the government agrees to. The policy response, as you can see, involves the health department, the Treasury looking at the economics, Department of Social Services looking at the range of issues that they have to handle, the Education Department thinking about schools and universities, Home Affairs and Border Force, Defence Department, the Finance Department is trying to keep an eye on what all this is going to cost, the Prime Minister's Department is coordinating things, and the Public Service Commission is trying to keep an eye on the personnel issues. So there's a whole range of things on the policy side. Then on the administration, the obvious two main organisations involved are Services Australia, the old Centrelink, and the Australian Tax Office. But even on the administrative side, there are a range of others who are closely involved, obviously health.
My God. it's being forced to adapt. That's the clear corollary of that, is it?
There's a lot of adaptation involved. But Australia is actually very good at coordination, and it's got a pretty good record in emergency situations of being able to pull together. Australia's not a bad record in this when you think of things going right back to the Bali bombing and so on. That the quick response across a wide range of agencies is generally done pretty well, supported by our pretty good Prime Minister and Cabinet processes.
Mm. And look, even with these changes, with all of these adaptive skills you describe, do you think we are capable, our public service, of dealing with a crisis of this scale, given that, you know, there's been quite a lot of critique of the public service in the last little while? What key challenges do you think it faces, which might be on display at a time like the moment?
Well, I think what you see at the moment is how important it is to have an evidence-based arrangement and have the expertise in the public service. And what has been happening over the last decade and more has been some loss of capability in the public service, as the hyper-politics has not really been interested in so much the evidence, but for evidence-based policy, but policy-based evidence, if you like, to play the party political line. And that has hurt the public service. What you see in this crisis is how important for actually responding and having the confidence of the people and the trust of the people in what the government's doing is to ensure that there really is expertise there that's been drawn upon.
Mm.
So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that you're starting to see how important it is to have public servants actually doing a lot of the work rather than so reliant on consultants and contractors. Now, we will always be reliant on consultants and contractors to an extent, but not to the point where you reduce the capacity of the public service. And so I think you're seeing at this time the importance of public servants who have those values of impartiality and non-partisanship as part and parcel of the way they do their business.
Yes, I'll come back to that if I can. Now, Alan, you wrote this co-wrote an article as part of the Australian New Zealand School of Government Leading in a Crisis series, and you point out the challenges of leadership during a crisis like this. And you include a telling quote from the Dutch Prime Minister, Mark Rutte, who said that with 50% of details being uncertain, you still have to make 100% of the decisions. I wonder how difficult this radical uncertainty makes it for politicians and senior public servants to perform their functions.
Look, it does make it difficult. I mean, one thing I want to do is really kind of emphasise the way in which crisis has become the new normal. The normal, as Andrew said, the public service is about policy development. It's about putting it into practice, and the kind of normal rhythms of the public sector is that they deal with issues, they gather evidence over extended periods, they consult with the public and so on. All that, now what we're seeing is that, in a sense, is shattered. There's high level of threat from COVID-19. There's a lack of evidence, even with modelling, with data, and there's ticking clocks. So we're really into a new terrain. So a lot of what we are kind of recommending the paper, just based on years of crisis research, is that really a kind of mindset issue. It's obviously being informed by experts, but you have different experts saying different things. So it involves large doses of pragmatism and accepting that you can't kind of wait for the type of evidence that would really nail something that you may have gathered over months and years.
Yes, you do have this very interesting phrase, recommendation: avoid the temptation of heroic leadership, the historic model of the ultimate decision that demands the ultimate sacrifice, that you have to make value judgments and weigh the balance of interests. That's what prudent political leadership is all about. Now, we really are seeing that on display in this crisis, aren't we?
Sure. And again, it's new territory for leaders. And I think one thing that has made it particularly difficult for Scott Morrison, certainly we found based on years of research, that in a sense that the kind of trust in the political capital of a leader going into a crisis is really important. So if you remember just a few months ago, it now seems like old news. We had the sports rot scandal. Mm. We had the bushfires, which seems almost another age, and again there was issues around that. So there can be a real issue of trust there, and I said there can be a temptation when leaders are not doing particularly well in terms of public communication to be kind of bold and upfront, and I said take these kind of heroic decisions. But in actual fact, one of the things that we are suggesting in the paper, that this idea of the heroic command and control government only goes so far. It's absolutely necessary, but you need collective working, you need people to be on board, you need the regular citizens are part of the response, private sector, public sector. So it's not about just about heroic top-down decision making.
During the course of the week, Andrew, public servants' pay, and we've got a couple of texts that are coming in about this now too, has become a bit of a hot topic. Yesterday, I believe broadcaster Alan Jones asked Mr Morrison if politicians, the ABC and public servants should be forced to take a pay cut. I just wonder what your thoughts are on this.
I think this is being a bit silly at the moment. I think there may have to be consideration of what should be done when we have to work out how we're going to pay for everything. But right now, I think that would be the last thing. I think the main thing that we ought to be concentrating on now is the effectiveness of the public servants in providing their advice and getting on with the job. I mean, nobody's going to be talking about suddenly we ought to cut the pay of the nurses and the doctors. I think that these sort of things, what we need to do is have a sense of working together rather than trying to shame some group or another.
Mm. And finally to you, Alan, the other discussion about whether public servants ought to stand beside the political leaders at times of crisis, and this is quite a vexed issue. What are your thoughts about that? The visibility of this is what I'm talking about.
There's arguments on both sides. I mean, I think one of the key issues is that whatever's done to be clear and consistent. So I think that's something that comes out from years of crisis research, mixed messages, people not sure what to do. One person says one thing. So I think, to be honest, a clear and consistent, stable message over, basically supersedes who's actually standing there. It's certainly good in terms of legitimation just to have not just a, you know, obviously politicians are used to, you know, electioneering and playing to the audiences and so on. So it's good to have that kind of symbolism of experts. So personally, I'm in favour of it, okay. But it's not a deal breaker. I think, as I said, the consistent message is more important.
Look, thank you both very much indeed. This is just a snapshot. We've had one text come in and said, you're right, our son's with the ATO working from home. He's putting in long days. Thursday evening was after 11 p.m. when he finally called it quit so he could wrap up a task. That's from David Wade in Canberra. I'm sure there's lots of stories like this. Look, thank you both. I really appreciate your time, Andrew Podger and Professor Alan McConnell.
Thanks, Geraldine.
And Alan McConnell's was part of this very interesting article you might like to seek out on the Mandarin website, Leading in a Crisis, Strategic Crisis Leadership. It's very interesting indeed. And Andrew Podger, former Public Service Commissioner.